we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello, welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a personal advert from the Gazette and Herald, read by Charlotte Green.
Beautiful brunette, 37, seeks York man, 35 to 45. Must be well-dressed, good-mannered, and have access to a bulldozer.
Thanks to Catherine Thorne for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Fred McCauley and Josie Long. And opposite them on my left, Hugo Rifkin and Jeremy Hardy. Fred, which embarrassing leak is proving to be expensive?
Oh, what a week. What a week. This is one of those stories, Sandy, that it doesn't matter what we say in this show or how much we think about it or write, nothing can be as funny as somebody claiming the cost of cleaning their moat. This is the leak about the MP's expenses and expenditure, allowable or otherwise, all part of a Daily Telegraph investigation, which I think is kind of, you know, stretching it a wee bit, because it's not that much of an investigation. Somebody turned up with a disc full of it and said, do you want to buy this? And they said, yes. Investigation over. I think the one good thing about this is that we have cross-party unity. It's like coalition greed. But the best, though, the best, of course, was Elliot Morley, who simply, bless him, completely forgot that he'd paid off his mortgage. And it could happen. It could happen to each and every one of you. And just to show how easy it could happen, next week I'm going to cancel my direct debit for my mortgage and then say to the bank, but I thought I'd paid it off. Surely you can understand my confusion.
You kind of expect it more from Labour politicians because, I mean, Tories tend to be rich anyway and they take a second home in their stride. Many of them have had to furnish several homes. It's not a big deal for them. But for Labour politicians, tend to come from more humble backgrounds. And I think when they get into Parliament, it's the excitement. There's so many shiny things. And it's like when you check into a hotel for the first time when you're a grown-up and you think, what? Free shampoo. And I can just not wash my hair with it and still keep it. They've got pens, they've got biscuits, they've got porn. You can watch porn and charge it to the room or to the government.
I like the man who had claimed that his London club was his local residence. Like, yeah. I genuinely had forgotten that these people lived in the 18th century. Like, I go, you live at your local club.
It was the RSC club in Pall Mall.
Yeah, and then I was like, a garage. That's not a club.
You don't want to stay at the AA club. The bar's rubbish.
My favourite thing about the expenses is this new notion they've got of flipping, which is when they swap their allowance from like one house to another. So they claim all their furniture on their first house, then they flip the allowance and they claim it all on their other house. Which seems to me like it would just be so much easier to just get a van.
Well, I thought flipping was a euphemism for what they're doing to the taxpayer.
Yeah. We've got Hazel Blears and her flipping houses. What about the flipping stupid grin on her flipping stupid face? As far as I'm concerned, she's a flipwit.
2 points to Fred there. After a week of damaging disclosures about MPs' expense claims in the Daily Telegraph, party leaders have pledged that the discredited MPs' expenses system will be urgently overhauled by a committee of MPs. Amongst the expenses, Douglas Hogg claimed £2,000 to have his moat cleaned out. Apparently it was clogged with receipts. 2 points to Fred. Josie, which poor speaker may have talked himself out of a lucrative job?
It's the man of two Christian names, which normally would make me like someone if you've got two Christian names instead of a Christian name and a surname. You people obviously don't adhere to my laws.
What, like Pope John Paul? That kind of, you'd go crazy for that.
No, that doesn't count.
Oh,
it's like Americans always have the opposite, like sort of Staffordson Carmichael.
Is Carmichael a first name?
Yes.
You and me are from different social backgrounds. So I should like him. And now I'm really worried I'm going to sound stupid because I'll go Martin Michael, which is Michael Martin.
It won't matter in a week or so.
Exactly.
You think it'll just be called former speaker?
I think so. think he'll be man at job centre. Hours, London, Westminster. Short. Yeah.
That would be even worse because it will say surname and it'll put it in and they'll go, no, that's... Sorry, you put the wrong name into the wrong... Hours he'll be wasting.
He makes a terrible mistake of blaming the fact that people don't like him, the fact that he's from humble origins and Scottish. You think, if you are from humble origins and Scottish, it's incumbent upon you to be extremely good because otherwise people will be snobbish and anti-Scottish. And the fact is, he's crap.
No, all he needs to do is to start singing in a beautiful voice.
That's the Welsh. I thought that was the Welsh.
Yes, he could go on Britain's Got Talent. That would be Speaker's Got Talent. That would be there's a new, very small niche television area.
Betty Boothroyd, though, she'd be perfect.
She was fantastic. Did he come though, Jeremy? Didn't he from a very tough?
Oh, no, he did. He's a humble Glaswegian, but he milks it. He doesn't.
To be fair, he was raised in a very tough part of Glasgow. I mean, it's so tough. The family had to share air miles. It's quite a.
Do you know what that tough part of Glasgow's called?
No.
Glasgow.
House of Commons Speaker Michael Martin faces a no-confidence motion over his handling of the MP's expenses affair. Martin has blocked several attempts to publish details of MP's expenses, which, frankly, is surprising, from an MP who has spent £1.7 million refurbishing his official residence. He spent £20,000 on media lawyers Carter Ruck to challenge negative press stories about him. So, I have to say, we have to be very careful what we say about the self-serving, money-grabbing, freedom-of-information-denying parasite. Hugo, what denial caused a Nazi fuss?
The Pope is in the Middle East, and his spokesman has said, contrary to popular opinion, he was never in the Hitler Youth, which is a statement rendered mildly problematic by the way the Pope wrote an autobiography in 1997, which included the sentence, "I was in the Hitler Youth." God, yes, so I was. It's absolutely true, or something like that. So, yeah, the spokesman said he wasn't, but he was, and the Pope's infallible, so the spokesman's wrong. But he's touring around the Middle East at the moment. I read that the sort of Israeli security services have codenamed his visit. I think it's White Robe is the codename. Which means it's very subtle. It's either him or Princess Leia, you know. That's it. But yeah.
It's the red shoes. I'm loving the red shoes. There's a hint of the Dorothy about the shoes, isn't there?
And he's got his special Israeli Popemobile as well. I remember I once wrote an article about the Popemobile. The Pope has many, many Popemobiles. And when they first came up with the idea of the Popemobile, the Vatican put out a sort of a tender and said, submit your designs for Popemobiles. And one early design for the Popemobile actually had gun turrets, which was rejected. And there was a quote from a Vatican spokesman saying, this design was not approved. It was decided it wouldn't look good for the Pope to shoot back. It's a true story.
Have they got, like, the equivalent of Q in the Vatican, then? This ought to amuse your holiness. Well, if somebody sins, it immediately projects 10 Hail Marys straight at them.
At the start of Pope Benedict's tour of the Holy Land, one of his Vatican advisers denied that the pontiff had ever been a member of the Hitler Youth. So what? He was in the Hitler Youth. Tony Blair started a war in Iraq. Doesn't mean he's not a damn fine Middle East peace envoy. 2 points to Hugo. Jeremy, which village needs a lot more green?
Oh, the Olympic Village. It's being nationalised. Hooray! Finally, people have realised that capitalism is a complete failure and they're nationalising all manner of strange things, like the Olympics is being nationalised, which must improve our chances, surely. Surely they'll be at Home Office, we'll draw up a list of foreigners who can't come to the country. Because they've got a nasty competitive streak. And they can change the games, presumably, because they can have... Because we're only good at the sitting down sports, aren't we? British, so I think there'll be a lot more cribbage in 2012 and maybe Cluedo. In fact, the government's putting money, isn't it, into us coming up with new sports.
Yes, they want people to think of new sports. I thought of a couple, actually. Suspect package relay team. What do you think? Slightly stony beach volleyball. To me.
We could get rid of all the really, really weird Olympic sports that everyone forgets about in pub quizzes, like handball. There's so many of them. I remember, in fact, during the Beijing Olympics, they were doing a report from the big Bird's Nest Stadium, and there's someone from the BBC going, yes, it's shocking how few people want to come and see the Lithuanian team play handball. Going, yeah, because that would be a sellout at home, wouldn't it?
Do you know there is a game now called Slam Ball, which is basketball with the addition of 8 trampolines? Now, I am hard pushed to think of any sport that wouldn't benefit from the addition of a trampoline. I think snooker, for example. Would be the way forward.
I'm very medal-oriented. Like, I've always thought, oh, I'd love to win a gold medal at the Olympics, and then year on year, my chances of doing it seem to be slipping away. And so I thought, if they want us to invent new sports, then surely they could just invent sports that I personally was very, very good at.
Like what?
Like throwing grapes quite high in the air into my mouth. I like 4 out of 5, I get them in.
See, that?
That is a bronze, yep. At least. Right? And on top of that, I'm good at looking at the Facebook profile of my ex-boyfriend and then jumping to conclusions about his life. I'm really good. And also running a little bit and then stopping and going, oh, no, can you just... That is 3. That is a triathlon.
We should just rename the whole Olympics Britain's Got Asthma.
The government will be forced to nationalise the Olympic Village at a cost of £750 million due to a lack of private sector investment. Tessa Giles said part of the cost will be offset by savings elsewhere. I have got this fantastic image of a winner biting her gold medal for the cameras and discovering it's chocolate. At the end of round one, the scores are Fred and Josie have got 4 points, but so too have Hugo and Jeremy. And we start round two with a label on the side of some pesticide.
Ant bait. Wash hands after handling. Keep out of reach of children. Warning, contains nuts.
And our thanks to John Baker of... Well, now, what do you think there, Charlotte?
I have no idea.
Acris.
Acris?
A-C-R-I-S-I-S-E. Anybody?
I've never heard of it.
Acris? I'll say it very quickly. Thanks to John Baker of Acris for sending us that. Wherever you may be. Fred, talking of people whose hugely expensive houses have been done up at taxpayers' expense, who has revisited a right royal carbuncle?
HRH, Prince Charles. Mm. 25 years on. Can I just say, I quite like Prince Charles. He's like Duke of Edinburgh light, isn't he? Yeah, he was invited to go back and speak to Reba. 25 years after saying that what they proposed to put on, was it the National Gallery?
Yeah.
It was like putting a carbuncle on the face of a much-loved friend. And he went back and he said, who would have known 25 years ago the problems this would have caused? Oh, it's not a very good Prince Charles impersonation, I have to say.
Oh, it's Prince Charles.
I thought it was Chick Murray after a stroke.
I'm here all week. Try the swan.
I had swan once. It's overrated. There's only two people in the world who can eat swan, well, in the UK, the Queen and St John's College, Cambridge. And I once went to dinner at St John's College, Cambridge. It's not very tasty. Anyway,
do bit like chicken, is it?
Yes.
There are a lot of people who are like, oh, swan... Oh, I've got neck.
You can do a table with a swan neck, I tell you.
Can it still break your arm when it's been cooked?
25 years after his diatribe against modern architecture at the Royal Institute of British Architects, Prince Charles has addressed the society again in a more conciliatory tone. During the speech, the prince did, however, mock well-known architect Lord Rogers for designing modernist buildings but living in a classical house. Yes. It's a bit like professing to love something modern and beautiful in public and then sneaking off to something old and comfy in private. Josie, there's 2 points to Fred.
Thank you.
Josie, why is the special relationship in poor health?
It's to do with the fact that lobbyists who are trying to stop President Obama from doing good and saving the world like he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
What they're trying to do is they're saying, oh no, you can't spend any money on a health system because look at the NHS. It's rubbish. Right, which I can't help but feel really personally insulted by. All right, come on, we're trying as hard as we can. Like, leave us alone. And it's really unfair. Like, the whole logic of the argument is completely incorrect. It's basically, well, if we got some sort of comparable NHS, there'd be waiting lists. It's like, yeah, best not to have one if you're going to have to wait. Best of all, if I'm going to have to wait, I'd rather just die. Just leave it off. And the second argument was like, well, if there's an NHS, you won't have any control. And it's like, again, yeah, I'm much rather in control of the fact that I can't possibly afford the operation that I need. I am in control of dying in a trailer. That is, I am 100% on top of this. But lobbyists kind of freak me out because it's such a burgeoning industry, and they will have these titles that make them seem very official, but it's actually just something they made up. Like, there's a coal mining lobby that is frantically rich, and they're called something like the American Association for Clean Coal Mining, and you think, oh, well, they must be good then, they must be normal. And you just think, no, they've just made that up. Like, I used to actually work making up pretend associations that you'd give to, say, if you're trying to advertise a skincare range. We made up loads like the National Skin Foundation or the British Hand Care Foundation, and people get really angry. They'd be like, you know, who gives you the authority to do that? And I'd be like, well, we're credited by the British Naming Authority.
He's messed up, though, this week, Obama, because after all his talk about torture and how he's going to stop it all and everything, he's banned these pictures. Because he said it will only encourage jihadists if we publish these pictures of our boys torturing people in Iraq. And it'll only upset them. So best you just know that we've tortured some of your Muslim brothers, but there's no point seeing the pictures. They're not very good pictures anyway. A lot of them came back from the chemist with stickers on. So, yeah. But you get the general impression, but don't get too upset about it.
In a bid to undermine President Obama's plans to reform the US healthcare system, the political lobbyists Conservatives for Patients' Rights have launched a series of TV and radio ads attacking the shortcomings of the NHS. And I find it hard to believe the Americans are spending millions of dollars slandering the NHS. That is, after all, our job. Of course, in America, they didn't have any people to speak out about being excluded from their private system because they're already dead. 2 points to Josie. Jeremy, why is a man's sick note not to be sneezed at?
It's true. Man flu is real.
Yes.
Man flu really exists because men have rubbish immune systems, because estrogen boosts your immune system. Now, we always knew that man flu was real. Where else does swine flu come from? Swine flu is a variant of rotter flu and cad flu that have combined to form this new... And if you sneeze, it's an absolute char. Of course it's true. Ladies are strong, yeah. And men, when we get a cold, we should go to bed and be waited on.
Apparently, it was a woman, Dr. Maya Sully, and she said that low estrogen levels explain why men are more susceptible to bacteria, fungi and worms. That's me thinking it was because they didn't wash.
I thought men, there's more estrogen now because of all the contraceptive pill in the drinking water that we're all guzzling. Mm-hmm. But I thought there was a crisis of feminisation of males. Because, I mean, the way around not having a cold, presumably, is for us all to take massive doses of estrogen, although that could result in us growing breasts. And there would be a downside to that, which is that we'd never leave the house, of course.
It is such a problem, not just men maybe growing breasts, but there's so much estrogen in the water that fish in the Irish Sea have got breasts. It's true.
That's a mermaid.
Man flu may be a reality after research at the McGill University Health Centre in Montreal found that men have weaker immune systems than women. Scientists infected mice with influenza and found that female mice still struggled in the next day to be tested. While the males just left a series of pathetic squeaks on the answer phone.
You can tell that women don't have proper colds because they have a tiny little hanky, no bigger than your thumb, blow their nose and then fold it 8 times and put it up the sleeve of their cardi. If you're a man, you need a hanky the size of a duvet, and most of the mucus still shoots out the top into your eyebrow.
But do you not think historically it means we should re-look at everything. I mean, was Jesus actually dead for 3 days or was he over-egging a cold? I think we should be talking.
You see Jesus on the cross saying, oh, mustn't grumble.
At the end of round two, the scores
you,
are...
You couldn't blow my nose for me, could you?
Nothing worse than an Easter cold.
At the end of round two, the scores are Fred and Josie have got 8 points, but so too have Hugo and Jeremy. Before we start round three, here is a cutting from the Radio Times.
BBC Radio 3, 7 a.m, Mendelssohn morning. Mary King continues the Mendelssohn celebrations with works by Mozart.
And our thanks to Daphne Turnock for sending us that. Josie, who thinks sex education should be studied religiously?
This is the best news headline that I've seen in such a long time, which is there's a Polish Catholic priest who's writing a sex manual.
He's written it?
But it's ongoing. No, actually, he's got a website. It's ongoing.
Oh, is it?
He's always thinking of new things. He's always. But that's it, just the things he says are such a joy. One of them was that you have to have a saucy and fantasy-packed sex life. And I was thinking, or in his case, entirely fantasy-based. That's all he's got. And it gives you all different tips on, like, positions. It's mostly missionary, am I right?
He said, although he doesn't have sex, he hears a lot about it from people who come to see him. And it made me think, as like most of the people who come to see him to talk about their sex life are probably taking confession, then he must think sex life generally is really, really nasty and depraved.
But no, he says that you've got to think of sex as like a football match, and there are rules. For example, you can't foul or kick a ball out.
Eugene Jane's after 45 minutes.
Said, how disappointing if it ends in penalties. You see that phone that Hugo Chavez has produced?
Yeah, and the name is a play on...
I'll give you an extra point if anybody knows the name of this telephone.
It's a play on the Venezuelan word for winkle.
It is. Vergatorio. I'll give you a point for that. Vergatorio is a slang word for penis.
They called it a great tool of social progress, which I really liked.
Because we did the same thing with dictaphone, didn't we?
It does make you think, like, how old is Hugo Chavez? Like, what do you want to call the phone? Willie. What do you want for dinner? Farts. What are you going to do tomorrow? Shut down the free press.
I'm going to give 2 points to Josie, an extra one to Jeremy and Hugo. Father Kazwari Knotz, a celibate Polish priest, has published a sex manual dubbed the Catholic Kama Sutra. He said a woman should never just be lying there looking at the ceiling, and that's right. If she's Catholic, she should be looking at a calendar. Two points to Josie. Hugo, who's hoping to make it big in the meowvies?
Yes.
It probably looks better on the paper, though.
This is the big surprise hit of the Cannes Film Festival.
Yes.
Which is this guy who is a parish councillor from Bradford, and he has a one-eyed cat called Midge, and his hobby is racing this one-eyed cat, presumably round in circles, as it's a one-eyed cat, and he's made a film of himself training for a race with this cat, and the French are apparently mad for it, and it's going to be the big hit.
To be honest, I've seen this film, and you couldn't tell if the cat was one-eyed or going backwards.
Isn't racing the one-eyed cat an appendix in the priest's manual?
Does he actually race against it, or does he put it into...
No, he races against it.
Oh, right. Who wins?
Oh, I haven't seen the film. I don't know.
Well, I do want to give away the ending for anybody to see.
Is it heartrending?
Anyway, it's not a fair race, because the bloke's a trained runner and the cat drives an Aston Martin. I don't think it's...
Can I say that the Catman wanted to make a remake where the cat raced Usain Bolt? He wanted to make a remake where the cat raced against the best sprinter in the world. And I'm just wondering how Usain Bolt's agents would pitch that to him.
There's this cat. I like that. Yorkshireman Martin Humphrey's short film about his one-eyed racing cat, Midge, has been selected for the Cannes Film Festival. Actually, there's a sport we could afford at the 2012 Olympics.
One-eyed cat racing.
One-eyed cat racing. The cat originally lost sight in one eye when hit in the face with a frying pan by a mouse. Two points to Hugo. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings that the teams have brought along. Fred.
This is from Thursday, the 14th Metro, which was, goodness me, just yesterday. A prisoner escaped after deliberately trapping his genitals in his zip so he would be sent to hospital. Kelly Edney gave staff the slip after he was moved to hospital in Plymouth. The 29-year-old, who was serving time for a bomb hoax, was recaptured in a car chase after the escape in 2006. Details have only now been released. It doesn't say whether his genitals have, though.
Josie.
This is from the York Press on the 11th of May. A homeless man thought that he'd found a warm place to sleep when he broke into an empty building, York magistrate heard. But when the police arrived, they told Christopher Brian Anthony, who obviously gets my vote for having a triple Christian name, they told Christopher Brian Anthony that he had just broken into York Crown Court and arrested him on suspicion of burglary, said Caroline May, again, two Christian names, prosecuting. And he said, if I had known it belonged to the Crown, I would have burned the place down.
Mr. Rifkin.
This is from the East Lothian Courier on the 8th of May, and it's sent in by Kate Crichton in Edinburgh. It's a breastfeeding promotion. A free coffee morning to promote the benefits of breastfeeding takes place at Sanderson's Wine Primary School next week. Health visitors are staging the event in the school's early year centre on Wednesday to coincide with Breastfeeding Awareness Week. There will be no charge for the refreshments provided.
Jeremy.
This was sent in by Mike Robinson, and it's a Sky TV banner. UK TV Garden, Sunday, 10th of May, 8:30 p.m. Garden Stories. This episode examines the therapeutic benefits of gardening, featuring prison inmates who find it a form of escape.
Let's take a look at the final score. Fred and Josie have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Hugo and Jeremy with 13. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from Scotland on Sunday, sent in by Graham Bell.
Selkirk Regeneration Group had high hopes when they canvassed teenagers on how the community could be improved. But the unimpressed chairman, Dr. Lindsay Neal, said the sixth formers were asked what they would like to see in Selkirk and came back with a paying field, a cinema, a Primark, a Kentucky Fried Chicken and a brothel.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Fred McCauley, Josie Long, Hugo Rifkind and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chair script was written by Simon Littlefield, Rodri Crooks and Lucy Clark, with additional material by Gary Delaney, John Luke Roberts and Gareth Gwynn. The producer was Ed Morrish.